Blog Talk Radio.
Faith Class Radio, a syndication of Urban Glory Campaigns. Growing faith, growing God. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based organization founded by Reverend Levolt Brelin with a global vision to reach the world that all may experience the glory of God. Visit us online at www.urbangloricampaigns.wordpress.com.
Let's go immediately into prayer as we start tonight's special message. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad. We thank you for another opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. It is the authority of your word that gives me confidence to make boldly known the mysteries of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do lean and depend on the Holy Spirit as educator and guide to give me clear articulation of speech and deliberation of thought as I make manifold known the wisdom of God. Holy Spirit, I say, have your way. Do what only you can do. Anoint the people's ears to hear what the Spirit saith to the church. And Father, in everything that shall be accomplished and revealed, you be glorified in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Acts the 2nd chapter, the 38th through the 41st says, Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from the outward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and in the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders were and signs were done by the apostles. I was directed by the Spirit of the Lord to begin to minister in light of our doctrine. The Lord reminded me that one of the mandates that he gave me as a minister of the gospel was to be a diligent doctrinal instructor. And if I was going to be a diligent doctrinal instructor, I would have to teach on things and areas that are not necessarily popular or common, but are necessary for the believer to understand. The apostles, from the onset of the scene after the resurrection of Jesus, automatically begin to teach out of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We see that the influx of souls being saved marked an impression on the message that they carried, confirming that message was the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, which enabled them to act. And thus we have the Acts of the Apostles. And so from there, being a move of the Spirit, enabled on the message that they were given, the church was added daily as such should be saved. I rarely hear, however, exactly what was the apostles' doctrine. And for that reason, we will begin a systematic study on exactly isolating overall themes of the apostles' doctrine. So we started in Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 43. And in a nutshell, we can summarize the first division of this teaching by highlighting the essence behind the doctrine. And there are three major essences. Number one, the receptivity of the knowledge of God found in Christ Jesus. And then number two, the reality of our new nature in Christ afforded by his resurrection. And then for this first division, we will summarize our study with the role of reconciliation through kingdom building. Amen. So in essence, we see God at work to give receptivity to his word, reality to our nature in him, and the role of reconciliation as he builds the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. All of this really sparked at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of reasons why we do not emphasize the doctrinal message is because there has been a distortion on what it means to have an apostolic movement. And we know that there are historically churches that have coined themselves under the apostles' doctrine. However, I feel that historically there has not been a blueprint, a roadmap as to indicating exactly what the apostles' doctrine was. There is historically also a group of people that elevate the emphasis of Jesus being the Son of God and actually being one with God, canceling out his sonship to just being divine. And we know that the scriptures forbids us to deviate from the essential doctrine, which has the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So when we speak of an apostolic movement or ministry, we are not speaking of a denomination. We are speaking in essence of the miraculous work of Christ that enabled the apostles of the Lord Jesus, those that were disciples when Jesus was walking on the earth, and then assigned to carry out the mission of the church to establish churches at will. That, in essence, was the true apostolic movement. And they have five simple ways to manifest this movement. Number one, through the ministry of the word. Number two, through the ministration or the administration of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, through the miraculous demonstration of signs and wonders. And then through the mega effect of kingdom building. And then last but not least, the ministry of reconciliation. You can note that in the particular chapter, we see all of these dynamics in there. Peter being anointed of God to call the people to repentance and to be submerged in the nature of Christ so that they could be redeemed from their sins and they could receive the gift giver, the Holy Spirit, who would enable them to live out the Christian life. We also understand that this promise was perpetual to everyone who would call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And then he exhorted them through preaching these words and also many other words and testifying and exhorting what God was doing in that land to make a distinction between the world and righteousness. And as a result, people received the word. They were baptized, and the Bible says that they were added from that day from 120 to about 3,000 souls. There was a mega effect, and they began to fellowship and continue in prayer and then have a greater reverence toward the things of God. And then it concludes the signature print of this movement, this apostolic movement, was the signs and wonders done by those that built the church. And perhaps if we would continue to emphasize this in the mandate of doctrine, we can isolate whether the church is truly acting out that plan which God has described through his word. And so let's find out some things that happen when we begin to receive the knowledge of God found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that the apostles did was for the fulfilling of Scripture, so that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. The Scriptures became the blueprint of their destiny. All that Jesus did and all that he promised and all that he empowered them to perform was for the sake of the fulfillment of Scripture, prophetically, practically, and also as they begin to build the kingdom of God. So as we begin to study God's word in light of this apostolic wave in the church, it reminds us that when we place an emphasis on the word of God and focus to obtain the knowledge of God, we can confidently exist as the church of God. So there are things that happen when we empower the word of God and give it proper place in our lives. Number one, it purifies the intents of our hearts. Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder the soul from the spirit and the joints and the marrow. Amen. So we know that the word of God is quick and powerful and is sharp, but is able to divide asunder the soul from the spirit. We thank God for him being able in us, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We know that the first thing that it will do is clean our heart, and our heart state is our life state. Secondly, we know that the word of God, when it's applied to our life and is given proper place, will produce faith needed for the divine intended quality of life. Of course, Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." When we allow God's word to have proper place in our lives, then we can exist in faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Thirdly, it perfects, which means to mature, our conduct through the process of sanctification. 1 Timothy 4-6 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with an hot iron, and forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained the truth. For every creature is of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified, again, by the word of God and prayer." Hallelujah. So we understand that the word of God perfects. It matures our conduct through the process of sanctification. Fourthly, it provides power to perform beyond the natural. I love Philippians chapter 2, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not all, as in my presence only, but as much more in my absence, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." And then it commends us to do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of the crooked and perverse nation among ye, whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, which is the word of God, that you may rejoice in the day of Christ, and that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if it be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Why? Because God's word provides power to perform beyond the natural. And it places a passion to proclaim, finally, number five, the impact of the word of God on your life. And Peter, and we'll go back to Peter in a little later, but Peter chapter 1 verses 20 through 25 says, "Who verily was foreordained by the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in him that raised him up from the dead, glory to God, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto undefiled love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as of grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. The word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So we know that the word of God will purify our hearts. It will produce faith needed for a divine intended quality of life. It will perfect our conduct through the process of sanctification. It will provide power to perform beyond the natural, and it will place a passion to proclaim that impact that the word of God has placed on our life. Let's briefly conclude this by highlighting the six scriptures that give directly the knowledge of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6, we see that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So number one, and I want you to get these points as we conclude. When you allow God's word not only to have proper place in your life, but you receive the word of God as the impartation or the mechanism that will impart the knowledge of God, you will have a readiness to obey the directives of God. You will have a readiness to obey the directives of God. Why? Because it says in verse 6, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience. That's why you bring everything into obedience based on the word of God. You make the word of God as final authority. Then go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and let's look at the 33rd through the 38th verse. It says, be not deceived, evil communication corrupts good manners. Awake to righteousness. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. And I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, thou which sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat and some other grain. But God giveth it to a body as it pleased him, and to every seed his own body. What this passage is letting us know is that the knowledge of God, secondly, will raise our language to the life of faith, because we understand that without faith it's impossible to please God. Anyone that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. They were looking for a natural resurrection when the resurrection from the dead had already been fulfilled in Christ Jesus. But at this particular point, the natural man could not understand the things of God because they were spiritually discerned. And because God is a spirit, he will raise us in the spirit and cause us to live a life that is able to awake to the righteousness that is promised us. So then, turn with me now to, we've been to Corinthians, we've been to Corinthians chapter 10 and 15. Turn with me now to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, the first through the third verse. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through, again, that righteousness which is of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and through our Lord Jesus Christ, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And then, of course, you know, it tells us to add to our faith. But what the knowledge of God, thirdly, releases power to live godly, because it adds virtue, knowledge, patience, temperance, and all those other habits of highly effective believers archived in this particular passage. It enables us to perform, and we must pray that by God's grace it's multiplied so we can exist as a spiritual being living out of our spirit. Now turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, and in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fulfilled in every good work and increasing again in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto the patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. What it lets us know is that the knowledge of God reveals divine matters. It reveals not only us to live godly, but it shows us exactly what is divine. And this is what Paul prayed on that church of Colossae, that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Fifthly and finally, and we'll continue this on the next Doctrinal Thursday, it says, my son, Proverbs chapter 2, 1 through 6, hear the words of the Lord. If thou receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as the hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, that reverence, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Fifthly, the knowledge of God is released through reverence for the voice of God. It is important, as we follow the apostles' doctrine, that we understand that they would have no doctrine if they had not his words. They spoke that which they understood from that which Jesus manifested in his life, the fulfillment of Scripture. Shall we pray? Lord God, I pray right now that the words that were transmitted tonight would enable your church to have a greater appreciation for that which you taught on earth. And now we, which receive instinctively endowments of divine insights, by your grace, Lord God, I pray that we would be able to connect the dots and the insights, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the know-how to confidently exist as your children, that we would learn to follow the apostles' doctrine. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, the instructor, who has given us the pattern. Now place upon us a conviction to obey the directives sent from your throne. In Jesus' name, amen. Perhaps you are here, and the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, ye shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Simply say, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised Jesus from the dead. I thank God for the work that he did for me at Calvary. Well, this has been Doctrinal Thursdays. God bless you, and I'll hear you, and we'll study together on the next broadcast. God bless you, and good night.
To God be the glory for the life of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Perhaps you listen to me give you a little historical facts. You heard the hype in my voice. At the end of the day, you need to come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Repeat after me, I confess with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that God raised Jesus from the dead. I thank God for the work that he did for me.
If you just pray that prayer, give us a call at our 24-hour prayer center, 202-709-PC4U. That's 202-709-7240.
Hello, this is LaVon Breland. In 2000, I decided to start a minister's fellowship that was very successful on social media networks of old. And recently, by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, the Lord told me to relaunch it in a more organized and consistent pattern. And I believe that I have a ministry to offer to ministers at their convenience. And it's simply by joining what we call The Call. The Call is an operation for ministers to collaborate on creative concepts that advance the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. I want you to join us on The Call. Get information about how you can be a part of it. You don't have to be in any type of affiliation. All you have to do is have a desire to be called for the ministry and seek the ministry to advance on earth as it is in heaven, because we're all about the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we welcome you to join The Call and get involved in relevant revelatory training for today, so you can be the minister that God has called you to be, with the backing of a community of faith that has endless bounds. God bless you, and thank you for joining me on this call. Join us on The Call, The Call, The Call, The Call, The Call.
Sold to one that expected ownership eternal, the merchant being man, the first two, denying their very identity, submission to a royally masked master called sin, never to return again, hope divorced mankind, anonymous papers signed in the ground of Eden. Sovereignty looked in displeasure, and it echoed, "Where are you, Adam?" Cowardly words of blame at each other, male and female, started the gender battle that some remain in even to this day. But don't despair, because after the intermission of man's thousand-year journey, the master playwright continues with a hero, a messiah, a savior who causes the great symmetry of time. It starts over with him. Conquering sin in a flesh he like no other could rip the partitioning wall that was built by the moment of shame in Eden, giving eternal access to man with the Father. Redeemed, redeemed, man is redeemed. The angelic choir sings with the harmonies this earth has yet to hear. It's clear, fear has no grip, death has lost its sting. Let freedom ring the song of redemption.
Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.